Hello and welcome to the Armenian News Network Grung. I'm Hovik Manucharyan. In this Conversations on Grung episode, Aspet Bedrosyan and I will be talking about the current government's initiative to yet again change the Armenian constitution. We will also discuss other matters such as the Artsakh Parliament's bill on occupied territories, Turkish-Armenian normalization, and other topics. This episode was recorded on Friday, February 18, 2022.
It seems like every Armenian administration has a desire to make constitutional amendments to fit the constitution to its political aims. The Pashinyan administration has now launched its second effort to change the constitution, and so a new commission has been selected by the ruling party, Civil Contract, to get the job done. At the same time, only a few days ago, the Parliament of Artsakh Republic passed a new bill, well, it's now a law, about its territories that are now occupied by Azerbaijan. The Artsakh government says this bill is a response to the Shushi Declaration that Turkey and Azerbaijan signed in June 2021. To talk about these issues, we are joined by Edmond Marukyan, who is a lawyer by profession and the leader of the Bright Armenia Party, Lusavor Hayastan. He was a member of the 5th, 6th, and 7th convocations of the National Assembly of the Republic of Armenia from 2012 till 2021. He's also a member of the newly formed commission to amend the constitution. Hello and welcome back to our podcast, Edmond. We're happy to have you with us.
Hello, Edmond.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
In early 2021, as the Armenian elections were heating up, Nikol Pashinyan expressed his position that Armenia should revert back to a semi-presidential form of government. Mm-hmm. Since then, we saw the resignation of the president, who complained about lack of constitutional powers. And various politicals have also weighed in on the matter. And recently, the Ministry of Justice has formed a commission to amend the constitution. Mr. Marukyan, you have been appointed as one of the members of this commission.
Yes.
Can we begin by asking what requirements have been communicated to this commission by the Prime Minister or his government? I assume the Ministry of Justice. What do they want to achieve through this constitutional change? And at a high level, what problems are they trying to solve, essentially?
Well, there was a promise to change constitution, and that promise was given to the people of Armenia right after the revolution, because the constitution that we have now was adopted by the falsified referendum, first of all. Second, the constitution was written for just one person to run for the third term, or not run, just to be appointed for the third term, Ser Sarkisyan. Then, you know, Velvet Revolution happened. And till now, we had another commission. It was created before the war, and it was not successful. So after the war, that commission was not working. And that's why the concept of commission was changed. And now we have this new concept. There is a constitutional council, which will create a commission consisted by lawyers, scientist lawyers, who will write the text. But the direction of the changes of the constitutional text will be produced, let's say, by the council. And I am the member of the council. Mm-hmm. So the council is totally free. There is no any requirement in terms of what we must do, what changes we must debate. So, and we didn't start yet. We are just doing all the technical stuff, how to make a call for this commission for lawyers. And as for Pashinyan, you know, he said that he's for semi-presidential system. Once he said that he's fine with the parliamentary system. And, you know, there is no any opinion imposed on the council or commission. It should be created soon. And we are just free to debate. We will diagnose the constitution, the text that we have now. And then based on that diagnosis, we will come up with solutions. And as I said, you know, till now we didn't debate any content-based stuff. So we're just doing this technical stuff now to run the commission.
Is there a deadline?
So according to the decree of Prime Minister, I think, as I remember, you know, it's written, it's published, and it's public, you can find out. I think next year we must deliver a text. As I remember, next June, something like that. I'm lobbying for doing it as quick as we can.
Okay.
But we have time, of course, to work, not in rush, to just debate, to have public hearings, to listen to people, to receive proposals from different layers of our society, different institutions of our civil society, and to see what kind of text we have.
Edmond, in one of his public statements, Pashinyan said that it may also be possible that the changes may not be even necessary to the constitution. So it's still sort of, it's a very broad scope. But is that still the case? And if so, why did you decide to join this council? And what do you think should be changed? In what direction should Armenia go to?
Well, we joined because we are out of the parliament, and the call was for parliamentary parties and also parties who are out of the parliament. And we joined because we were represented in the previous commission by my colleague, my friend, Tanos Simonyan. And we just want to be part of the process and be there to share our ideas, because we were also a lobbying force when this constitution was adopted, to not have this kind of constitution, to not have fake parliamentary system, to not have super prime ministerial system, and to not have these problems that we have in constitutional text. But we didn't see them. And, they did what they want. And the referendum was falsified as well. So now I'm there to share my experience. Actually, I'm a lawyer by education. I have a master's degree in international law and human rights law. And I have my experience for 9 years in the parliament, and also my directions, like governance and constitutional matters. That's why I'm there, to have our contribution as a party and as a specialist of constitutional law. I think what direction we must go, I think we must have a parliamentary system. This is not a parliamentary system that we have now. And I think we must have real parliamentary system and to see how it works. Because if somebody will say that this doesn't work, I will argue that this is not a parliamentary system. The parliament just electing the prime minister or not electing prime minister is automatically it's being elected. At two situations, and is not having and is not having any influence on the creation of the cabinet of the prime minister or independent institutions. And, you know, it's a toothless parliamentary mechanism. We don't have real parliamentary supervision, checks and balances. So my first task is to have real checks and balances in the constitution.
Okay.
As part of this council, do you know if your colleagues feel the same way that the parliamentary system, as you call it, a real parliamentary system must be enacted?
Yeah.
Or do other people, or do you think that there will be other directions that people go in?
We don't yet debated this matter. I mean, there are people who are for semi-presidential system, but as I understand, the majority is for the parliamentary system in the council. But we will see. I mean, we didn't debate it. That's my first impression.
Okay.
Mr. Marukyan, there is wide concern in the diaspora, as well as maybe among the parliamentary opposition, that the constitution may be changed to accommodate demands by Turkey and Azerbaijan. Yeah. Things like dropping references to the Armenian cause or the Armenian genocide from the Armenian Declaration of Independence and also the constitution. What do you think about these concerns? Do you share these concerns?
I don't share because I don't think that it could happen. And I think we will not touch in any way the preamble of constitution. So the Declaration of Independence is mentioned in the preamble of the text of the Constitution. So I'm against of touching any word in that preamble. Mm-hmm. I don't think that it will be changed. And as I know, as the other council members as well. I mean, that's a fake manipulation.
Okay. This is a very good thing to hear from you as a commission member.
Yeah.
Okay, that is one of the major concerns that people have. But just so we can have you on the record, are you unequivocally stating that you would not support changing the preamble of the constitution here? Or is it possible that your mind may change later?
No. I mean, I don't see any problem that the preamble of constitution is referring to the Declaration of Independence of Armenia. I don't see any problem there. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that we must change it. So, and I don't think that we must do whatever Aliyev or anybody out of Armenia is lobbying. You know, this opposition just, you know, took that statements from Aliyev and they are just manipulating.
All right.
That's it. I have no information that ruling party representatives have such idea or they are lobbying this or they want to change the preamble. I myself, as one vote, I will be against of changing it. Second, as I understand, the rest of the council members as well.
Okay.
And we didn't debate yet. I mean, that issue, because I mean, it's not issue that it's not about checks and balances. It's not about governing system. It's not about our problems that we have now. Why we should debate it even? I mean, I'm just, you know, no sense to debate that preamble. I don't think that. But since that issue is manipulated, I think it will be discussed as well.
I appreciate you stating that on our podcast. In that case, let's move on quickly to the next topic that I wanted to discuss, which is in the past week, Artsakh's parliament passed an important bill that it says is the response to the Shushi Declaration and deals with a couple of important issues regarding the occupied territories. One has to do with restoring territorial integrity of Artsakh Republic, and the second is about companies and their countries that do business in occupied territories without the permission of Artsakh government. What do you think about this new law?
Well, I mean, it's a symbolic act. It's nothing else, I think. What the value of that legislation? What will give us it? What will give it to Artsakh? It's just symbolic step, as I understand.
But let's say some who support Prime Minister Pashinyan say that it would complicate his negotiations with Azerbaijan and Turkey. Do you think that is the case? Or do you think that even if it's just symbolic, even if there is effectively no way for it to be enforced, that the Artsakh government should have been on the record for on this matter?
Well, I didn't notice anyone to criticize it from Pashinyan's team.
Okay.
It could become an issue, I mean, during the negotiations. I don't think that timing is good. You know, we have still prisoners of war in Azerbaijani prisons. I mean, they may wait to have all of them here in Armenia than to pass this kind of law. I don't know why the rush.
Yeah.
Why we need it now. I don't think that it's giving anything to us.
So you think it's purely symbolic?
Yeah, it's again showing us how much we are detached from the realities. How much we are detached from the realities. Yeah, I mean, we can pass a law and declare that some islands must be, you know, united to Armenia. But what kind of consequences it can have? We just lost the war. We just lost the war. We have 30 years more, not 30, let's say, like 26 years we had, you know, to be prepared for that war. We were doing this kind of symbolic stuff. You know,
right.
I just don't know what to say. I mean, Artsakh Parliament is the Artsakh Parliament. They are sovereign institution. They are free to legislate whatever they want. But really, I have I didn't have any talks or discussions with my colleagues from Artsakh about this piece of legislation. But since they decided to pass it now, it's their decision. What I can say, I respect that decision.
Is there something Armenia can do to support the Artsakh parliament decision?
Particularly this bill?
This bill.
I don't see any opportunity. What we can do, I mean. Let's say I'm a delegate in Council of Europe, let's say, and I'm having a speech and citing to that legislation. What will be the consequence? I mean, my delegates, my fellow delegates, what they will say? They will say, are you serious? Really, they will say, are you serious? You didn't realize what you are doing? I mean, you didn't realize your region? You didn't understand in what kind of situation you are?
What do you think that the authorities in Artsakh could do better that they're not doing? Or I understand that it's in many ways it's a very limited situation. Their hands are limited. You know, what advice would you have for them? Have you visited Artsakh recently? If you have, what have been your experience?
I think last time I visited it was October, I think, or November, something like that. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. This year, no, I didn't visit yet. I had some trips, but what Artsakh authorities must do, they must do everything to keep people in Artsakh.
Right.
They must do everything to bring people back who left Artsakh. In order to keep Artsakh Armenian, we need Armenians, people of Artsakh, living there. If we can't keep them there, then how we can argue that Artsakh is Armenian? Because Armenian people are living there. I mean, we need to keep people there. We had that mistake before that liberated territories were not well organized and not many people were living there. That was a big mistake of all authorities of Armenia and Artsakh. And I think right now what we must do everything to help and support people in Artsakh to live there.
Okay.
But the first concern, the biggest concern of there is security, which is so obvious. I mean, they were asking me when I was there, like, what will happen after 5 years? That's not 5 years already.
Yeah, three and a half.
Yeah, three and a half. I mean, what we must do? I mean, what is our future? How we can keep our kids here? What will happen with us? I mean, this deadline is, you know, it's a very bad thing. And we need trusted statements from Russia or Armenian authorities that even after 5 years, Russian forces will remain there and security will be provided. You can live and develop your economy and your country in a peace. But it's very difficult. There is no such a statement, you know.
Mr. Marukyan, yes. You lead the Bright Armenia, Lusavor Hayastan Party. In the June 2021 early parliamentary elections, the Bright Armenia Party did not do very well and didn't get into the National Assembly. Can you explain the poor performance at the polls? And specifically, how are you and the party preparing to overcome these issues and return back to parliament in coming elections?
First of all, coming elections will be in 2026, a lot of time. And why we end up on the barrier and many, many other forces that we all together were proposing alternative, third version, third way, because of polarized society. That was totally polarized at that time. Now as well, but at that time very much was polarized. It was aftermath war situation. Mm-hmm. And, and that's why we just couldn't pass through that wave. That was a big, big wave of polarization. And it was very difficult to overcome it. That's why. But, I mean, we are fine with that. We are, because it was our decision. We knew that we may not be in the next parliament, but we understood that snap elections has no alternative. We must do it. We must organize it for the sake of our statehood, for the sake of overcoming the aftermath war crisis. And we did it. I mean, we demanded the resignation of Prime Minister Pashinyan. We negotiated with him. He resigned. We went together for elections. He was re-elected. We were not elected. I think and elections were organized free and fair. And we recognized the results. And now we are in reflection. We are reflecting what happened, why it happened, our mistakes, you know, the situation, the problem of polarization, media manipulations, you know, fake campaigns, what was happening against us. That was, you know, a very big, very big wave. And that is why we couldn't pass. What will happen for the next elections? Nobody knows. Nobody knows what will happen, in which situation we will be, and how we can be, you know, we can be re-elected, or, you know, it's not just a goal that we must be in the next parliament. We don't think that, you know, we must. I mean, being in a parliament, it's a mechanism to serve your country.
Of course.
To continue to serve Armenia. And we don't know who will be in the parliament, who will continue to serve in the parliament. Who will not be in the parliament, the same. It's very difficult right now to predict, because many, many things changing very, very, you know, quick way.
What are your thoughts on how Armenia can come back from this disastrous moment in our history? Do you think the right government is in place? And if not, what needs to be done?
The people of Armenia decided that this is the right government. I didn't vote for the government. That was not my idea. That was not my vision. But we have what we have. And we were lobbying for unity. For unity, for being together, all forces, and creating a government of national unity, and concentrating all resources that we have, different forces in diaspora here, concentrating all resources to bring back our economy, to try to, you know, to strengthen and rebuild our army. And for that, the most important things are right now, it's what to do to double our GDP. What to do to double our budget? What to do to double our budget of army? what to do to have, you know, well-organized reform of our army, what to do to stop migration, what to do to have people coming back to Armenia. Mm-hmm. So those are the main questions for me right now and for us. And I don't see such a debate in our media. You couldn't see that kind of debate. Like, people are debating what to do to develop our economy. There's no such debate. All is about hate speech. All is about insulting each other, you know, threatening each other. And this is not a way that Armenia can be rebuilt. So we must, you know, unite all our forces to put our knowledge, our resources, and build up the country. This is the only way.
Mr. Marukyan, do you see that day after day the government is busy and taking care of those important priorities?
There are imitations as well, that they are imitating, and we had this always. I have no insider information, but they speak about, you know, building roads, they speak about reforming army. I have no any information whether it is happening or not. But the parliamentary opposition can, of course, check it. And my hope is that, they took a bad lesson, but it's a good lesson for not doing the same mistakes. War and aftermath of the war, and to not do the same mistakes and to work forward, you know, to do everything to, you know, bring very competent people to the government, to the different government agencies, and to create opportunities by legislating, you know, for new investments, for new creation of new jobs, and for developing our economic situation, our economy.
Okay, very good. Well, here's a topic that doesn't need a long intro.
Okay.
At least not anymore. Turkey and Armenia have appointed special representatives to conduct the so-called normalization discussions to reboot political relations, open borders, trade, etc. Certainly, everyone we've talked to agrees that neighboring countries should talk to each other and find a modicum of coexistence.
Sure.
What are your expectations of this process, and what does normalization mean?
It was the goal of Armenia since independence to normalize relations with Turkey without any preconditions. But we had three or four failed attempts of normalizing our ties with Turkey and our relations. And opening borders, and this is another opportunity to work through. And I totally support the process. I think that was a good statement after the first meeting, that negotiations will be continued without any preconditions. This is a very good statement that was, you know, reached by parties.
Mr. Marukyan.
Yes.
So despite that statement.
Yes.
You know, Pashinyan in his interview. Said that, you know, the role of genocide recognition or the Armenian cause has always been diasporas, and he tried to sort of separate Armenia from that. Do you think that even if they explicitly said that there shouldn't be any preconditions, doesn't that sort of qualify as meeting a previous condition that Turkey has imposed or has put forward?
You know, previously they had a precondition to create a commission of historians. You remember that?
I remember that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, which was not a question. I mean, the genocide issue is not an issue for debates. It's a well-established fact. In scientific level, it was well-established and accepted. In international level as well. So the United Nations Security Council permanent members, United States, Russia, France, recognized the Armenian genocide and condemned. And I don't think that we have a problem there of not supporting the genocide recognition process. As I understand, I mean, the prime minister said that the main lobbying force behind the genocide recognition process was the diaspora institutions. Of course, Armenia helped. Of course, Armenia joined to that efforts as well. Armenian embassies, Armenian, you know, diplomats. And I don't think that if in any country, Armenian genocide issue will be debated in the parliament, Armenian embassy or Armenian Ministry of Foreign Affairs will not join to that efforts of the diaspora. But the situation is this. There is no precondition right now of creating any commission of historians or whatever, you know, and we have no preconditions. And this issue should not be a barrier to establish diplomatic ties, to open borders, to start talk. And of course, we have very bad heritage historically with Turkey, and to continue talking about that heritage. I mean, it should not, you know, stop us to go forward for that. Of course, you know, there are forces here outside of Armenia that they don't want to see these relations be established. First of all, Azerbaijan would not want to see this. And other actors as well, I don't want to mention, you know. But there are, you know, really, there is a big, big lobby to have this attempt as well failed. But I think we must be, you know, we must continue and finish this part of negotiations and open borders and have diplomatic ties. The rest of the issues, you know, could be debated, you know, of course, and will be debated. And the Turkish society had different layers and they are debating. There are people, scientists, journalists who are openly saying that genocide happened and they say, we apologize for that. There are people who come to a genocide memorial in, you know, Armenia, April 24th. I mean, there are different forces, and there are marginal forces, of course, lobbying that Armenia is an enemy. So, but what we should do, I mean, we are, you know, already, how many years, 28, 29 years, you know, we closed borders. This is not good for Armenia. We can't, you know, we can't continue like this. We can't develop our economy. And I don't think that any investor who is looking to Armenia from the United States or for France or from other place thinks that it's a good thing that Armenia has four borders. Two of them are closed. One is frontline, are killing each other on a daily basis. Another one is totally closed. You know, they will decide to invest in Armenia or not. So we must think about these issues. So I think it's a good opportunity. We must try. I don't know if we will succeed or not, but we must try. We must put effort on it.
Okay. What are the pitfalls and opportunities in this process that you see? Would it be possible that, as we have seen in the past, for the Turkish side, last minute to introduce new conditions or preconditions?
Of course.
And
of course. Sure.
What are your thoughts in this area?
Yeah, I said already that there are very strong players who are against of this process. And at any moment, this process can be stopped. At any moment, this process can be collapsed. That's why I don't understand when we have people here in Armenia or outside who are against as well and who work against of this process as well. I mean, at any moment can happen anything and the process can be, you know, collapsed.
Well, my biggest problem with this is that, you know, a lot of people are touting the potential, you know, are selling this as an economic, huge economic potential for Armenia, where we haven't seen any studies indicating that this will be, in fact, a benefit to Armenia. So I think it's more of a concern that if you are selling this...
I didn't say anything about economic opportunities. Anything.
So what is the biggest benefit for opening the border without, you know, if it's not economy?
We need to normalize relations with our neighbors, first of all. Second, we need to have at least opened our three borders. If not, we... Azerbaijan, I don't see any opportunity to have open borders with Azerbaijan now. But with Turkey, there is a big opportunity to do that. And it will, in any situation, will give benefits to all. I'm not talking about it. Of course, there are, you know, there are studies that it's good. There are studies that it's not giving us anything. I am a politician. I'm not an economist. In a political level, I understand that normalizing our relations, having diplomatic ties with Turkey is one thing, not having it and keeping them to do everything against us in every format, in every platform, it's another thing. So that's why, you know, we must be smart enough to do this.
Okay.
I think most people that we've talked to do want to have some form of normalization going on. My experience is that most people do not have the level of trust that's needed in the current Armenian government to trust them with these normalization discussions. They're not saying, let's not have conversations. Like you said, we've had it two or three times in the past. But this is the government that basically lost the war, has not done a good job of returning our POWs. The negotiations with Azerbaijan have been, you know, dismal. So they don't feel that this government can really negotiate on our behalf for a normalization. I think that's what I've heard from so many
You're
people
right.
that we've
You're
talked
right. I
to.
understand that. So this government is elected for 5 years term. It's just elected 7 months ago. So what to do? Wait for 5 years and to lose opportunities, to lose the situation and momentum that we can normalize our relations and to get benefits of it and to try to somehow, you know, control this enemy situation? Or what to do? Or, I mean, wait for 5 years. Of course, I mean, I don't remember any government in independent Armenia which was totally trusted by the people. We had a government in 2008 which was trusted by the people. They were elected by falsified elections. So this is a government which was elected by the people of Armenia. And what we can do? I mean, we must continue working and we must continue trying to go forward. We can't say, complain that, of course, people voted for them, but we don't like them. That's why we don't trust them. That's why, you know, they should not negotiate on behalf of us. So right now, this government is representing Armenian citizens in every stage and in every platform who likes or who dislikes it, but it's the fact. They are elected. That's it. They want us. They want all of us. I mean, they did it. So what we can say? I mean, of course, there are a lot of justifications why it happened. Why after losing the war, why after that mismanagement, they re-elected? Because the people hate the previous regime. And the previous regime came as an alternative. And I said about it from the parliament chamber. And I said, if you run, this government will be re-elected. Don't do that. Open the space. Don't come back again. But what happened? I mean, did they listen? No. So now we have what we have. And I respect the Armenian people's choice. They elected them. They didn't elect us. That's it. I mean, that's the result. We must recognize it.
All right. We'll leave it there today. Thank you very much for your time, Mr. Marukyan.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That concludes this Conversations on Grung episode, and we hope you found it useful. As always, we invite your feedback. You can find us on most social media and podcast platforms or our website, grung.org. Don't forget to subscribe to our channel on YouTube, like our pages, and follow us on social media. On behalf of everyone in this episode, we wish you a good week. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.